Welcome, everyone. This is our Ohio Writers Guild. This is for authors and writers, and it's everything you need to know to get published. Now, I am so excited today to bring Chris McClure back on. I was just checking when we interviewed Chris last, and it was 2021. Can you believe that?
I was wondering when it was. I was trying to think back because I was actually in a parking lot at a kids' sports event, I think, there too.
Yes, you were. Yes, you were. That was so crazy. But I love that you were on then, and I love that you're on now. Chris and I, we go way back. We had sat together under the same coaching program for some time. And I am just so excited to see how Chris's business has just exploded and grown and morphed into what it is today. And I guess that's what I want to talk about on our podcast today is there sometimes, you know, when you want to launch something, whether it's publishing a book or starting a business or whatever, it's going to look a little messy at the front end, and that's okay. That's okay. And Chris has gone through that. I've gone through that. Sandy's written books. Linda has a business. Sherry is with us. And I don't think Sherry can chat with us today. Katie's with us as a guest. And I don't know about Katie, but I know Sherry has changed her business several times through the transition. And so I want to talk about that because, and I'm going to share just my screen for just a brief moment so you see where to find everything. So here we go. I'm going to share my screen. So bear with me. And let me get out of some of this stuff here. This is the homepage to my actual website, the Kathy Benner International Academy. And when you click over here on the More button and choose authors and writers that you see right here, you're going to get this page. And this page is actually all about our authors and writers. And there's a course here where you can write from anywhere in the world. And we want to help you to get published. And getting published means so many things these days. I mean, you can put something out on Facebook and you're published. You can put it out on the internet and you can put it on your website and it's published. So anyway, just know that that means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. But it also means the traditional ways of getting published as well. There is a link here where you can click through and listen to all of our replays. And yes, you can go click through there and listen to the actual replay where we talked with Chris back in 2021. It's there. So you can go back and take a listen to that if you want. So once you get to the course and you click through on the course, it's going to give you this screen. And this is where I want to show you where you can get a lot of that information. And then each month we talk about one of these topics. So choosing a publishing route, this talks all about the different ways to get published. Then all the different ways to edit your writing, ways to get feedback from editors, critique circles, beta readers, titling your manuscript, that's important, formatting your book for publication, designing an eye-catching book cover, writing a publisher-ready book description, creating your book launch, publishing your book online to retailers, and 6 most effective book marketing techniques. Now, we have an actual Facebook group called Ohio Writers Guild, and we're on Meetup under the Ohio Writers Guild. And that's probably the number one question I get is, now that I've written my book, how in the world do I get somebody to buy it? And so I just kind of want to show you this. I'm going to click through on this one, take a minute to load here. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on each of these, but you can find the information here, connect with me, connect with Sandy. We'd be happy to talk to you about any of these, but you can use your social media channels. Okay. You know, you can create teasers from your ebook. You can run contests. There's all kinds of things that you can do there. So just know that you can use social media. Now, you can generate a buzz using PR, public relations events. And again, one of the ways that Chris and I did our book launches is we actually had a book launch. And that helped promote the book and let your closest friends and family at least know that you've launched a book. So there's all kinds of ways that you can have some PR. You can do a pre-launch. You can build up to it on your social media that launch is coming in closed groups. You can announce it when you're doing speaking gigs or your podcast guest or whatever. And that's what we did with Chris back in 2021. Am I right? You were publishing a book then.
Yeah, that was the year I was publishing my second book. Yep.
Yes, and that was, I think, one of the reasons we brought you on. It was part of your pre-launch program, and we brought you on as a person to be interviewed on our podcast, and we could talk all about your new book that was coming out. Now you can send emails to your subscribers, and of course you have to have some subscribers to send an email to them. There's lots of ways that you can do that. Again, you can talk to me or Sandy. We can talk to you about how to do that. You can collaborate with partners. I've written two books so far on a collaborative effort. And what happens on a collaborative effort is that if you have 20 authors all contributing to one book, now you've got 20 people pushing the cart in the right direction instead of just yourself. And so that's a good way to get your marketing strategy out there. You can use some video marketing. There's all kinds of ways to do video marketing. It's as simple as using a Zoom call like we're on today. So in closing, there's a lot of ways to promote your book. Again, I'm not going to get down into the weeds on all of those because I want to get over to Chris rather quickly today. And one of the biggest ways to promote your book, and ta-da, this is all about Chris, start a business around your book. That is a perfect way to market your book. Now, what happens is then you reach this crossroads. Is your book business marketing the book, or is your book marketing the business? And you know what? After a while, it's the same thing because you're just trying to bring value and add value to your audience. You're there to help folks take their next best step, and your book is going to automatically sell in the process of you pushing your cart in the right direction. And that's what we're going to talk to Chris about today. But before we do, I'm going to stop sharing rather quickly here, and I'm going to go over to Sandy and make her my co-host. And Linda, I'm going to jump in and make you a co-host as well. And this is just for my safekeeping in case I get bumped off the call that you guys aren't just hanging out there. And Sandy, I want you to say just briefly what it is that you bring to the table for the Ohio Writers Guild, and then we're going to jump right into talking to Chris.
Thank you. Hi. There always comes a time in which you just need more than perhaps what you see online or what you read in a magazine or a book. It's time to maybe gather with some other folks who do the same thing you do. Maybe they're a little ahead of you. Maybe they need your assistance. But that's, to me, is what Into the Springs Writers Workshop in Yellow Springs, the first weekend in August, is all about. I create it with the idea of what do writers need to know or would like to know right now. My presenters work rather hard. They stick around. I only have maybe two or three weekend featured guests who are somewhere in the writing world, and they start on Friday evening and they are there through Sunday lunch. So whenever that question you have of any aspect of writing comes up, you'll be ready to ask it. They'll be ready to share their answers and suggestions with you. It'll be my seventh year next year and my fourth year, I believe, at the Mills Park Hotel in Yellow Springs. Always a nice venue, very wonderful people who work there and help me work it through. For the first time, I'm bringing a literary agent in. She's going to be there the whole weekend. And I open registration in January and have a bit of a discount until Valentine's Day. But she and I will meet, and if you've ever been to a workshop or a conference, the agents are usually tucked away somewhere, and you sign up to talk with them and pitch your book and all that. I'm going to bring her to the fore. I don't know if she knows this or not. She has an idea, maybe. I'm
I love
going
it.
to bring her to the forefront a bit more and talk about what she expects in a pitch or in a query letter. And if you look, she's from Twinsburg, Ohio, Storm Literary Agency. And if you look at her employees, there are many. So that means there's an opportunity that if you write children's books or if you write novels or nonfiction, she probably has an agent under her who can represent you. So that's where I'm now focusing on that angle. But I'm bringing back, and I was like, oh my God, I've been doing this long enough, I can bring back people. And a couple years ago, I have a romance writer who very much is into the basic ABCs of writing. And even though a lot of us are published already, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't go back and take another look at it. And what I like about recently published people, I think she's on her 15th or 16th romance story with the Harlequin folks, and she's starting to branch out into some other things. So you're talking about what's the business? Is the business something out there, or is it something with her? So she is now her brand. So now we're going to look for Juliet on other things, perhaps besides just romance. But she'll talk about that magic word that's vague for a lot of people called tropes. And she's going to chat about, you know, when people say show, don't tell, concretely and in detail, what does that mean? So I've got those questions. You, and again, if you read and listen and watch enough, you'll see those words bandied about, but how do you apply them really to your work? So that's how I design it. And right now I have those two folks working for me coming up this coming August. So, you know, it's always a pleasure to be here and see where everybody is in the writing world and in the process. And believe me, you could be anywhere, and hopefully you feel very comfortable there and willing to learn and move around in it.
Oh, Sandy, thank you so much. I get it. Now, I've been to her workshops twice now. I love them because I wanted to get a bigger picture, and I did. My dream was to always start writing. So once I started writing, I did go to a couple of other workshops. Sandy's is still my favorite. So if you haven't been, yeah, it's perfect. It's small enough, but yet large enough that you just really walk away feeling like you've attended something very important. And so I can appreciate that. And Sandy, your hard work does not go unnoticed, let me tell you. You
Oh,
put a
thank
lot
you.
of work and effort into putting that on, and it shows. So
Thank you.
thank you for that. And I just want to say thanks again to everybody that's on the call. And I want to talk to Chris about what he's doing, not only to monetize his book, but it's just such a bigger picture than that. Now, he's an experienced life leadership and business coach, as well as a published author, and he's committed to serving his clients to the highest level of integrity and quality. And I have known Chris for a lot of years, and I can attest to that. He definitely has the integrity and brings the quality to the table. So, Chris, thank you for that. Now, he served over 20 years as a full-time pastor. Am I right?
That is
Yeah.
correct, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. And you came up through the ranks like some of us did through John Maxwell and getting coaching there. And then he and I actually met under the Author Academy Elite banner with Carrie Oberbrunner. And that's how we actually met. And I tell you, Chris, you've always been special. So thank you for being on the call with me today. And I know you've got a passion and a purpose. So tell me, how did you decide that you wanted to write that first book, The Way to Greatness? And what was the most challenging part for you? Because we've got a lot of newbie writers that are in this group, and a lot of them have that book idea that they've been carrying around for years. How many years were you carrying that around before you finally put pen to paper?
So that book in particular, I mean, I think the idea and concept came pretty quickly, but wanting to write a book was quite a while. And you know, even when in my early 20s, when I first got into more personal growth, leadership development, self-study, as I read more books, I thought, you know what, someday I'd like to write a book. That was as vague as it was, right? I didn't know what I'd write it about, didn't know anything. I mean, it was just like, I think it'd be cool to write a book someday. So kind of fast forward, 20 years later, in essence, right? And that's when I did. But I'll say this, I'll say my first book before The Way to Greatness may never see the light of day because I didn't know what I found out doing The Way to Greatness. And so it's on my file somewhere, but I just started writing and I just started writing randomly at first. And it didn't turn into anything because I didn't have a structure. I didn't have a plan. I didn't know what I was doing. I just started writing, and I may go back to that idea someday because it's kind of tied to my LLC branding name that I started my LLC with. But the way to greatness really came about when actually our mutual friend Mark Williams and I, we were really talking about, the things that I had learned throughout my life, through my career, all these things and what I see people struggling with. And it was like that was when it really when it hit me was, there's a lot of people out there who struggle with what I kind of identify as five core areas of life. And I wanted to write about those and share and help people navigate those and truly experience a great life, not just a mediocre, life that they're settling for. So that's really, I think what drove me was the passion to help people. But at that time, I had no idea about building a business around anything. It was just a message that I felt like I needed to share.
So when you first started to write, and again, you said you didn't have any kind of a template or a way to do that. So how did you finally start writing that particular book? Was it after you got into the Author Academy Elite Coaching Program, or was it before? And then once you got there, you knew you had to change your format a little bit.
So it was around the same time. I knew by the time that I got to that program, I knew what I wanted to write.
Okay.
But it was Mark became my writing coach and editor through my process. And he, I always tell the story that he was very gracious and patient with me in those early days because I think we figured out we probably spent 10 to 12 hours on the phone or Zoom calls together. And honestly, me fighting him, resisting him on a lot of things about outlines, wordsmithing, structure, because I just wanted to write a book. Like that was all I could
Right.
think. I just want to write the book. And he's like, you can't just write the book. You've got to put structure to it. You've got to put a plan together. What are you trying to do here? And so he stayed with me. And so that first go around, that first book took us 10 to 12 hours to really hammer out the outline. My second book took us about less than half that time, I know. And that was less about me resisting and more from the creative side and just saying, okay, this is our process, but now we just need to massage it. And because then I had a system to write. But I'll tell you this, after I wrote that first or got that outline nailed down in the first book, I wrote it in 30 days. So I
Wow.
basically, once the outline was done, then I could sit down, block my time, and write it out and do the manuscript. So that first draft, that manuscript was done in 30 days.
Wow. I can relate to that. I decided that I wanted to write my first nonfiction, or my first fiction. I'm sorry. I wanted to write my first fiction, a mystery novel, and my characters got out of control. I mean, as I started writing, they took on a life of their own, and I had to go back and get rid of writing by the seat of my pants, and I had to go back and do an outline, and now it made it easier. So I understand the whole outline process. I thought that I could write it without an outline, but I decided that I needed to reel in my characters just a bit and make sure they ended up where they were supposed to end up. So I get doing the outline. And I do my courses that way when I write courses. So, as a coach and an author, how do you balance your time between writing and coaching and leading your business? Now, for me, I kind of decided, and I don't know, this is probably one of my downfalls. When I decide to do something, I throw way too much out there all at one time. I'm like, I'm going to start a business and write a book and do a course and then after a while it gets overwhelming. How do you manage that? Because one of the biggest things that I see that you're doing is that you have a very successful coaching business that either is wrapped around what you're writing or your writing is wrapped around what you're doing, and after a while you can't tell, which came first. But you're very successful at that. How do you manage all that?
Well, for me, Kathy, I think what I had to really realize was so I wrote my first book and then I had my book launch party and it was exciting. That was September of 2019. By the end of September, I started writing my second book because for me, I looked at it and was like, well, that project's done. Check it off the list. And I moved on. And so I'll say this, I still haven't maximized that first book content the way that I ultimately want to. I will come back around to that. And I'm feeling like I need to do that pretty soon, actually, for some reasons. But I wrote my second book and going through that process, once again, I wrote that book in like 14 or 15 days because of the process I was so ready for it the second time. But that's the one I really built the business around for coaching and training. And so, balancing that, I'll say this, I have to hold myself back a lot right now because I have other books I want to write. But what I realized was I need to slow myself down, kind of put those titles and ideas to the side, and really do my business around my content and make that my brand. And that's so my second book is The Magnetic Leader, and I talk about 18 essential actions. There's 18 chapters on these essential actions, I call them, about what it takes to be a leader worth following, that people really want to come and work with you. And so that's become my kind of my brand is magnetic leadership. And so I started a podcast around that. I have a video course around that. I have my book, obviously. I can do workshops and seminars with that content because basically I understood the second go round to build the book was a part of the process. It wasn't the whole thing. And for me, that was the game changer, was understanding that this is a tool, this is the content in one form that I can utilize. And so this past Friday, actually, just over the weekend, a few days ago, I'd been asked to go to speak to 40 credit union CEOs. And down in Oxford, Ohio, near at Miami University, they had like a 3-day roundtable conference. And because I'd done some other speaking in the credit union space in the last couple of years, I got invited to come to this. Well, I was with my ideal audience. I told my friend, I said, actually, I was the best audience I've ever been with my ideal clients because, I knew my target audience more now. I know the kind of people I'm needing to really, go and connect with. And so I'm starting to reach out to more associations or groups that pull those people together. And that was something they reached out to me and invited me after my, I kind of did the pre-work before, but now they're kind of inviting me. But I gave them all a copy of my book the other day, as part of my speaking engagement. They didn't ask me to do that. They didn't buy the book, actually. But for me, I saw that as a tool and I, to be as a gift to them in attendance. And also knowing that that's a lead generator for me to get that book in their hands, with a, I put basically, I actually grabbed an envelope, a red envelope that matched my cover, slid it in there with a letter thanking them for being there. Would love to set up a free strategy call with them to talk about their challenges or goals. And then also promoted a new, team development program that I have that's tied to my content. So now I'm starting to bundle all these things together. So I got paid to speak. Gave them a copy of my book, but I promoted my course and training program, which is an 18-month program that I'm rolling out with people. So it all it's very it's been very progressive, I'll say. You just see opportunities and how these things because if I just sold 45 books and gained earned about 10 bucks a piece, that's nice, but instead they pay me way more than that to come speak to them. And then if I get a client or two or several to join my coaching program, that those books are going to be extremely valuable.
Yes, every time I sit in my family room and look at my bookcase, it says Chris McClure right there in my bookcase. And that's going to be there forever. So, so your books do make quite an impression, and folks don't throw those away. Those folks that attended that talk will have that book forever. We just don't throw books away. They're almost like a sacred thing. Look behind you. You've got a whole bookshelf full of books.
Go
I get it. I love that. Now, we've got a lot of new writers. The idea of completing a full book feels overwhelming. And what are the strategies? You say how quickly you wrote these books once you got your outline. What were the strategies of just staying focused and motivated throughout that writing time? And did you have a system? Like, did you write every morning while the kids were still in bed? Did you wait till night when you put them to bed? Did you write on your lunch? I mean, what was your strategies? What worked for you?
Yeah, for me it was the morning. It was I blocked about an hour and a half every morning. I got up early. I'd started even before I wrote the books, I'd started to have a morning routine where I was getting up pretty early to get some things done, before the family got going and the day got busy. I heard Darren Hardy one time say, we can control before 8 a.m. and after 8 p.m., but anything between those hours is kind of chaos depending on who you're around. So I took that to heart when I heard him say that, and I really protected my morning time. And I blocked the way I did it, I blocked 90 minutes a day. And I also just printed out paper calendars for and and just put in chapter one, chapter two, chapter three, and so forth and so on. For me, it was easy to write a chapter at a time because of how I had decided to structure my chapters. So I knew I was going to have, the chapter, then three subsections, and then some reflection questions at the end. So I every chapter, and that's part of the system for me that's worked is having that framework that I knew each section, each subject. I'd have like an intro part, but then I'd have like a subsection of like 500 words or so, and then I would do that three times, and then have my reflection questions at the end. So, knowing that that was the case, I just knew when I sat down for that hour and a half that I knew what I needed to do. And so, I know that people that are going to write different structure and have different, ways they're going to do their books, that may not work exactly for them, but I think the concept of blocking the time. Even if you say, look, I'm going to write 5 pages today instead of 20, don't overwhelm yourself, but just be consistent, I think, is the key. And for me, getting that printing out a paper calendar, when I normally use my iCal and digital calendars, but for this, I wrote it and I could just say, put a red X on that day when I got done with that. And I knew I was chipping away at that. So that's how it worked for me, Kathy, was I. You block my time, know that that was what I'm dedicating my time to, protect that time, and then mark off my progress to feel that momentum on a day-to-day basis. Because especially when I was writing my first book, I was still a full-time pastor. So I was leaving in the morning after writing to go to my day job. Not, I didn't have all day at home to write. So I was writing that in the morning before I left to go to the office. So, but so I there was an urgency there, I think, and a way to focus. So I so putting those deadlines on myself really helped me at least.
Well, I remember that you were still pastoring full time, and it was like, oh my gosh, how in the world did you and a family? So how in the world did you fit that in? So, what advice would you give to someone who has a book idea and they don't have a clue where to start? I mean, if you really were coaching someone in that position, what would your step one advice be for them?
I think the biggest thing is begin with the end in mind of what do you want to do with that book? Some people just want to write a book and they want it to be out there in the world, and that's fine. You can do that. But if you're really wanting it from a monetizing side of things, what do you want to do with that? Do you want to have a course with it? Do you want to have coaching programs? Do you want to speak? Do you want, what is it that you really want this to do? Because the book is a key piece of a lot of things, but I think a lot of people write a book, or especially as a new author, we kind of think the book is the thing, and it can be on one level, but many times it's not. And so a good example is a good friend of mine. She's actually a published author here in Ohio as well, and I've had these conversations with her this past year. She published her book about a year ago now. It's some kind of a memoir and lessons from her life, and it's a really good book. I got to be a beta reader and give her some feedback, and which was fun. But she didn't understand any of this either. She was just writing the book and telling her story. And I said to her, I said, Rachel, you're going to be asked to speak when this book comes out. People want to hear your message. So you're not just going to be an author. You're going to end up being a speaker because people are going to want you to come speak to their groups. And maybe in her case, women's retreats or different things that she might, have the opportunity to do. And that's exactly what's happened. And so she keeps saying, now she's posting online, here's my upcoming speaking engagements, where I'm going to be at. And it's a way that, once again, she re-promotes her book about it every time, but she's also promoting that she's a speaker. And, she's doing author signings now, even in Kroger Marketplace cafes. She's got like six or seven. I just saw it today, actually. She's got
I know
upcoming.
exactly who you're talking about as soon as you said the Kroger
Okay.
Marketplace.
Yeah. Yeah. And so she's great. I mean, I love her to death. But she didn't know all that. So my experiences of kind of fumbling through it, has helped her really see that there's a lot of potential. And she's actually working on her own coaching program now, and packaging it. So once again, putting all this together. So once again, beginning with the end in mind, as much as you can see, right? I mean, sometimes we don't see what's possible. My coaching program for my book right now, so I have a digital course, but I wanted to have a membership community at some point. That was kind of like a dream that and I wanted to have this membership community, but I dragged my feet forever, Kathy. And then last a year ago in August, I or summer, June, July, I was tired of it. I was like, I just got to get this going. So what I did was I reached out to about 30 or 40 people that I would love to have had in my group, and did like just an introduction Zoom call, kind of like this, and said, here's what I'm doing. Here's why I think you'd be great to be a part of this, inviting them into this community. What was interesting though is one of the people on the calls was the CEO of a credit union that I'd done executive coaching with their team. And she said, can we talk offline? And I said, sure. So we talked separately, and she said, "Would you be willing to do this program?" Because this was going to be more of a public, open to the anybody at any time program. She said, "Would you be willing to do that program with my team and our organization? Because we really need a more planned program to develop our managers." And so now I'm 2/3 of the way through an 18-month contract with them doing this coaching program. So what I thought was just going to be like a monthly membership, kind of a community around my content, has turned into a corporate training program. And so I never envisioned that until she said something to me about doing that just with her team. Well, guess what I promoted last Friday to all those 40 CEOs I was talking to? It's that program. And I have two other, I have a credit union that's looking to bring me in next year. I have another nonprofit that wants me to bring in, do it for three of their groups in their company. So this thing that I thought was just going to kind of be this, selling it one by one to individuals has become a corporate training package that I now have to offer. But I didn't see that at the
You
beginning,
didn't see
right?
that coming, did you?
No, but I knew I wanted to coach around this content. So that was, for me, the book wasn't the end in itself, but it was a way for me to package the information I would be teaching and training with.
Okay, and the moral of that story, folks, is don't overlook those opportunities that just land in your lap because they do. I was just out to dinner with my girlfriend Friday night, and we're sitting there talking about our trip that we just got back from London and Paris, and we're just chatting about the trip. And she said, "Oh, look who just came in the door." And I looked over, and it's a gal that schedules speakers for a huge women's conference every year. She immediately came over to us, and she looked at me, and she goes, "You're Kathy Benner." She goes, "I need you to speak at the women's conference this year. Are you interested?" I said, "Absolutely." So don't overlook those, don't
No.
overlook those opportunities because they will definitely kind of just fall in your lap. And and like I like to say, the rising tide actually raises all the ships. So so whatever it is that you're putting out there to the world, it's going to take on a life of its own. And when it does, I like to teach my students all the time this. Sometimes you feel like you're pushing the rock up the hill. And you're pushing and you're pushing and you're pushing and you're pushing, and you finally crest the hill, and the rock starts to roll down the other side. Well, hang on. Hang on. Because then it's going to take on a life of its own. And that's okay. And that's okay. But you got to be ready for it.
And
So,
you have to grow into that too, right?
yeah,
You
absolutely.
sometimes there are things that I envisioned or wanted back when I started my business almost a decade ago that honestly, Kathy, if it would have happened back then, it would have been too big for me. I wouldn't have been able to handle it.
Yep.
One of my first proposals that I wrote for a global company was $1.2 million contract. And if I would have gotten that, it would have, I couldn't have handled it now. And realistically, I thought I could have, and I was like, super excited about the potential. Today, I could handle it based on the network of people I have and all the things I can do. But back then, it would have probably been damaging. I don't know that I could have handled it, but the timing of that, right? Getting ready, little wins, building up. And that's the other thing, right? So begin with the end in mind, but also know that little wins, I heard somebody say, don't always swing for the home run or expect the home run, but enjoy the base hits and the doubles as well, because those ultimately score runs down the road.
I get it. I get it. And one of my coaches, one of the wisest things that I heard him say back in the day was he said, "Be careful because a bigger stage reveals you.
Right.
It doesn't make you, it reveals you." And so like Chris had, when I first started, I'm like, "Oh, I want 100 customers." Well, it would have revealed that I wasn't ready for 100
Right.
customers.
Yeah, you didn't have maybe the systems and processes in place at that point, right?
Right. So I had to grow along with the business. And so it's okay to start, whether you're writing a book or starting the business or whatever it is that you're doing, it's okay for that to look a little messy up front because that will give you some time to get more clarity. And I say all the time that you have to start first and get the clarity second. And so you just simply start, whether it's writing or a business or a book or whatever it is that your dream is. Now your emphasis on you emphasize five core areas of life in the way to greatness. Which of these areas do you think aspiring writers should focus on to become successful in their writing careers?
Yeah, so my five core, just real quick, are is basically faith, relationships, mindset, stewardship of resources, and your time. So time is the biggest one for authors, in my opinion on this is, and I talk about maximizing your time in my book. That's the section on this part of the book, but it really goes back to, are you blocking your time, knowing what you're going to do when you show up to that time block? That's been a big lesson for me. Was it's one thing to say I'm going to write for an hour, but if I don't really know what I'm going to write or what I'm going to focus on during that hour, I can still waste a lot of time and not be as productive. And so the way I say it, even in the book, is, first tell your calendar what you need to do, and then let your calendar tell you what to do when you get to that time block. So if I say I'm going to write for an hour and a half at a time, and I'm going to write chapter one or three or 20 or whatever it may be, I at least, when I get to that point on my calendar, I know what I'm doing. I know that today is this, it's focused on this thing. If it's research, then research. If it's, outreach about, people to join your book launch team or whatever it is, do it. But make the most of that time. And, when we actually focus our time, we actually expand it in the sense that we get more out of it, because I think we waste a lot of time just not having a clear plan. And if we truly maximize our time by, being clear about it and saying, this is where I'm going to focus. I'm amazed still, Kathy, what I can get done if I say I need to do this for 15 minutes or 30 minutes or an hour. I can get so much more done than most people get done in a day by the time lunch is around if I'm really focused. So, it's just a matter of that. I think that's been the biggest thing for me is, as a writer, let me back up, as a creative person, and writers are creative, right? We can get easily distracted many times, and it's easy to think of a thousand things to keep us busy. Actually, one of John Maxwell's things years ago that really hit me was, you can be busy but not productive. And that really hit me hard, because I can be a very busy person and at the end of the day go, well, I got a lot of things done, but did anything really move the needle? As a writer, if you're going to write that book, if you're going to get that manuscript done, if you're going to get the editing done, if you're going to get the cover design, all the things, components that fall into it, you just have to really be diligent and protect that time and block it well.
I get that. I get that. I teach my students in my coaching program that and again, this you can mold this into whatever works for you, but on a Sunday night, I put on my boss's hat and I sit down and map out my week on what has to get done, what my deadlines are. And then on Monday morning, I put on my employee hat and now I just do the task as if I were working for someone and getting paid to get the job done. And sometimes I think it, when I put it into those terms, it's an aha moment for some folks that hear it that way because they're like, oh, I get it now, because you're the boss and the employee. And so you have to create your and it goes back all the time. Oh, plan your work and work your plan. But what does that really mean? And so when you put it in terms of being the boss and being the employee, I think every one of us has had a job at some point. And we all have done things that really weren't our favorite thing to do, our favorite task, but we did them because it was part of the job. And so for me, as an example, I have to flip rooms first thing every morning, and that's not always my favorite part of the task here at the guest house at the bed and breakfast, but it's what pays the bills. And it gives me the freedom to be able to sit and write the rest of the afternoon. So sometimes you just got to put on the employee hat and do the dirty work, so to speak. Now, how do you approach structuring your books, and what steps do you take to ensure that your content will resonate with your target audience? And I think just from talking with you today, it sounds like maybe your target audience has even changed a little bit.
Yeah, that's a really, I was going to go there, actually. I'm glad you said that. It's that when I wrote my first book, I'll say I feel like I didn't really have a target audience. I had content that I felt was valuable, but I didn't have a clear end user in mind necessarily. When I wrote my second book, I literally wrote that book, even got to the point of the cover design. I had an envision a vision of, I want this book sitting on a CEO's desk as a reference guide to their leadership, that this is like, I need to keep this handy as a reference manual for being the kind of leader that my people need. That was the difference of clarity. One was, I have a message I think is needed, with my first book. The second one is I have specific content that leaders need to learn and do. It's really about the implementation, and they need to keep this book handy so they can, can refer back to it and make it, I just kind of dog-eared and, readily available. That's really what I, that's, that was my vision as I was writing that book. So even the cover, I wanted it to look good, that it looked like it belonged on a CEO's desk. So I think for me, it was that, I tell people I'm a simple guy. I learn in simple ways. I write simply, and I don't try to, I'm not academic. I don't try to write in flowery language. It's not just, that's just not who I am. And there's a time and a place for that, I think, and different audiences, but I just try to make it very practical for leaders. And I just wanted to write in a way that would help them. And so for me, outlining the book, that was who I was outlining the book for. That's who I was writing these sections for. Once again, I think for me, I may not stick with this forever when I, as I write more books down the line, but for me, I really feel like I can get into a quick groove with, kind of a intro story to, it'd be each chapter with three sub points to kind of as action steps for that topic. And I'm a nonfiction writer. I'm not a fiction writer, so it would look different for fiction writers. But the reality is, when I can truly break it down, and it doesn't have to be three sections, maybe it's four or five, depending on what the topic is. But when I know what I'm, how I'm chunking each chapter down, then I could just focus on those areas and really go to town. So, but yeah, the end in mind of who is going to read this really is important, because I think that then you're, in essence, you're writing to that one person. And I think that we just write differently. Actually, I just wrote an email this morning that I'm going to actually send tomorrow to those CEOs front that I spoke to on Friday. And I was just writing to them as individuals who, I, thanks for, it's great to see you, be with you the other day. Here's what we talked about. Here's what I mentioned my program. I mentioned that you can set up a free call with me to chat about your business, challenges, goals, whatever. I'm just basically just a way to reconnect. But I do the same thing when I'm writing books, So whether it's an email, a book, a social media post, as an author, and as a content creator, I think that, thinking about that person on the other end who's receiving it is so important. But I think a lot of times early on, we think it's about everything I know, or it's, we think it's more internal than it is external.
Good lesson there. When you did your segue between your first book and your second book, what was the biggest difference that in the way that you wrote? What was the biggest thing that you changed? What was the biggest lesson you learned that you knew you needed to do differently on that second book?
I think a lot of it for me was just being me. A lot of, I think the first book, I thought, even though I was writing, even though I didn't necessarily have an ideal reader in mind necessarily at the beginning, I was probably more concerned about who, about how, how I came across, and it was still kind of self-preservation. Whereas my second book was, I've got to be real and authentic, because when I go out and speak or I'm coaching people, they're going to get me. And if I write one way and then I present and show up a different way, that's going to be incongruent. So I think, one of my favorite authors, honestly, Kathy, is Dan Kennedy, who's a marketing guy, and his whole brand was no BS, direct response marketing, all these books. I have a bunch of them sitting in here in my office right now. I just bought a few more recently because I love, but he's very straight to the point, and he's very direct, and it's him. He, and if you hear him speak, it's the same way. And for me, I was like, you know what? I'm not him, but I appreciate that authenticity, right? And for me, I just felt like I had to be myself. When you say, when you speak a certain way, or let me say it this way, when people read, they've heard you speak, they start to hear your voice. When I read John Maxwell's books, I hear John's voice.
You are correct.
Joan Turley, our friend Joan, Joan's a Southern belle. When I read her book years ago, all I heard it was in Joan's voice, because I knew Joan wrote it, and she's, her book is her, right? So I think that, be yourself, write in a way that, yes, you want to connect to your audience, but you also need to be who you are, because you are your brand. At the end of the day, when people hear you, when they're working with you directly, you want that to be like, yeah, I feel like heard the same things in the book or the same way you said it there, you're saying it here. Yeah, you should. You know, it's just a written form versus a spoken form.
Now you do have a little bit of an advantage over the rest of us because you were a pastor for 20 years, so you kind of already, you know, did your stint of being up in front of a group of people, where a lot of us, you know, we were kind of thrown in there cold turkey.
Yeah,
You know.
that is true. I mean, I and even leading like coaching groups and things, I realized that my experiences, because I was a small group leader with whether I was a youth pastor or even with adults later in my life with my wife. I mean, you know, leading like group coaching programs is second nature to me because it's what I did in my own career as a pastor. So you're right, but I think everybody can grow into it, and it's
Oh,
fun to
yes.
watch people grow into it.
Well, and I think you'll even see if, for those of you that were at the beginning of this call and you saw where the link was in the under KathyBenner.com and you saw where the link was to listen to our earlier podcast, you'll see a big change even in how I interview and how I present, because I was so nervous when I first started because I'd never done anything like this. And now I'm kind of like, oh, did I comb my hair first?
Yeah, now you have to be careful not to be too casual and not thinking
I
about it.
know, I know, I know. I was on a call the other day and I thought I probably should have combed my hair at least. So I get it. I get it. And you do kind of grow into just being comfortable with what you're doing. Okay, we're getting close here to the top of the hour. So I have a big question for you, Chris. If you were coaching a brand new author looking to publish, what would you say are the most important steps in the process of turning their manuscript into a polished, published book?
Well, get a really good editor. I mean, I think is critical. And I know that that's tough for a lot of authors in the sense that, you know, we think about expense and we think about, you know, how much money do I have to in this project. But the thing is that there's a lot of, with the accessibility of publishing today, everybody has access, right? Anybody can throw something up on Amazon and it's out
Right.
there. But if it's not well done, you're going to hurt your brand. If you don't have a pub, you know, an editor that's helping you really work through, because not everybody's a technical writer. I mean, you know, that's why we have editors, right? I mean, I can write manuscripts, but I need an editor to clean up the, you know, certain things or make or refine certain things. And so I think really having a good editor and you know, I mean, we have another friend, Marion. I mean, she wrote her biography, basically her book. And her editor, she actually invited three or four friends to edit the book with her as they went. So she didn't have a lot of expense of money. She didn't pay an editor, but she had an expense of time and energy with a group that really helped her like comb through her book, which turned out to be phenomenal. It's a great book. Very intriguing, her
And
story.
she's traveled around the world, and she's got speaking gigs all over the place, and
Yep.
she is just exploding with her
She
message,
is.
by the
She
way.
is. Yeah, and but she didn't spend a lot of money on editors, but she spent a lot of time with her editing group of friends that walked through things with her. So, however it's done, there's different ways to do it, but just make sure that, you know, it's you don't want to publish your first draft. Let me say it that way. You know, the first draft maybe you got to get it down on paper and get it out there, but you really want to invest the time and make sure it's edited well, because there are, once again, it's that whole thing of kind of like the as seen on TV things, right? People, they can, any marketing can make something sound really good, but if somebody opens up your book and it's poorly written, it's not very easy to read, guess what? Some people send those books back and get refunds. Other people, it's just a matter of it's bad, you know, reviews. It's, this is junk, you know? And I think most people that want to write a book that I know at least, they really want to impact lives. They want to help people. So you don't want that to be a deterrent because you didn't have it designed well from, you know, the editorial side as well as the cover design and things. Try to remove as much friction as you can by doing the hard work. And it is hard work up front, but think about, you have to think about it this way, is once it's done, once that book is out there, it's out there, it's done. I mean, you know, you can revise it over time if you need to, but you don't, you do the it's worth doing the hard work up front rather than having to correct errors and fix things later and try to I don't know, recapture positive reviews versus getting those
Right.
negative.
Damage control. Try to do damage
Yeah.
then. That's always
Right,
tougher.
exactly. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Yeah, the damage control is much harder than doing it right the first time, even if it's slower.
Well, that brings me to my last question for Chris. is what impact do you hope your books have on readers, and how do you measure the success of your writing beyond the sales numbers?
Yeah, I think a lot of it just comes down to when I hear people tell me, you know, that this really helped me. I mean, even my first book, like I said, I didn't market it the way that I should have. I didn't do all the things that, you know, would have been better at the beginning at that time. But I had a lot of people who bought it, and I had people who told me, you know, this really helped me think about some things that, and I'm starting to implement some things. For me, taking action on what I've written and shared is the biggest thing. And so, you know, working with coaching clients right now with the content from my book, you know, most of them are watching video lessons, not just reading the chapters, but it's the same core content. But, they're saying, you know what, I've just never seen it that way before. I haven't thought of it that way. Or I had a client one time, she's in her early 60s, not too far from retiring at this company I'm working with. And she's like, you know, I was talking to my husband about this lesson this month. And she was thinking about the impact of how life from childhood till now has impacted how she operates. So, you know, giving people something to think about and to really apply. And, you know, yeah, it's great to sell books, but Kathy, to be honest, I give a lot of books away with the intent of really generating clients more than I sell those books, you know? So my books are on Amazon. My books are out. I sell those books. Don't get me wrong. But for me, I know that if I can get my books into people's hands, I can help them. And then that leads to goodwill that they want to work with me, you know, as a coach, which is really my end goal.
Right, right. I get that. And so again, that's at the beginning of this podcast, that's what I wanted to highlight, was that you're actually monetizing your book in the fact that you've wrapped the whole thing in this whole coaching program. And that just makes it all the more important to get your message out there and to get your voice heard. And Chris is definitely making an impact around the world. I know a lot of folks that have connected with Chris, and it has moved the needle for them and in their business. And so, Chris, I just want to say I appreciate you being on the call today. And I want to open it up to any questions that anybody has that's been listening in. So feel free to unmute your mic. And who has a question, a comment, or an aha moment for Chris? Sandy.
You know, I'm impressed that I love the beginning where you say start a business around your book. Even in the fiction world, that is a very, very important message. And even though the avenues of publishing have varied so much of the last 20 years, the idea that you get an agent, you think your job is done. They're going to take care of all that businessy type stuff. And that is not true. I don't even know if it was true back then, but it is not true. You have to do a lot of work yourself. And the idea, I guess, excessive right brain, excessive left brain, but the idea, the fact that, yeah, you are your book. And even as you're building your blog or your Facebook post, it's you who's really selling your work. Oh, there's the world of ghostwriting that I don't understand it, but that's its own thing. But even then, the subject of a ghostwritten book is selling the book. So right. Yeah, that is such a good way, a professional way of looking at your work. So that is great.
Sandy, those are all great points. And I just want to jump in and say, for those of you that you're thinking, I just want to be an author, then at least have an author's website.
Yeah.
And you can pick up a website for very little. There's even some free ones out there. You can get a domain name. You can do all of that. Connect with me if you want to know how. I can walk you through some of that. It's so easy to just get that cornerstone of your business there, of just having an author's website that just lets the world know that you're an author. And then if you want to expand into coaching, like Chris is doing, or into a membership site, which is what I'm doing, you can expand that website down the road, but at least it gives you that cornerstone. So, sure. So perfect. I love that. Any other comments, questions, aha moments for Chris? Debbie, did I see you unmute there?
Yeah, I wanted to apologize for being late to hear Chris. What I did hear, I enjoyed very much, and it was nice being able to reconnect with you from what we used to be in.
Yeah.
And it's what fascinated me was the realization of if you had what you're having now happened 10 years ago, how you would not have, you would have been way over your head and said, yep, cut it off and that's it.
Yeah.
So it's encouraging to someone like myself to know the backstory of some of this, so that when it happens to any of us, then we know what to expect.
Yeah, you have to kind of build that strength and endurance as you go. And that's, it's kind of like walking into a gym and wanting to get stronger, but you're not going to go and lift 100-pound weights first, right? You have to start with fives or tens and then move up to 20s and so forth and so on. And if we try to lift the hundreds first, we end up hurting ourselves, and we have to build into that. And that's the biggest thing I think that a lot of us don't realize when we're starting out, and is hard for us, because I think a lot of us have a big vision of what we want to accomplish when we do start. But we don't realize that between where we are and that vision, there's a lot of challenges, obstacles, setbacks, growing needs in between here and there. But when we have that mindset that, okay, I'm going to have to grow through this to get there, it changes our perspective and allows us to really, I guess, do the work and know that it's going to be okay even on the hard days.
Right. And you have to put into perspective that there are those out there in the world that say, oh, you can handle it, and they don't put themselves in your place. It's all about the way they see things and their perspective on, oh, why do you want to start off at 2? You can handle 10, no big
Right.
deal. And so I get it. And you
Absolutely.
got to be able to handle it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, great to see you
Yes.
too.
You,
Thank
yes.
you. Thank you, Debbie. I appreciate you jumping on there. Chris, tell us how folks can get in touch with you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm on social media. I'm on Facebook as well. I'm on LinkedIn a lot right now. LinkedIn has become a great platform, for me at least,
Yeah.
with trying to, from the leadership side of things, just find me there. But then also my website's mcclurecoaching.com, and would love to connect with everybody.
Yeah.
All right. And McClure is spelled with an E, right?
Yep, MCCLURE. Yep, there you
Coaching.com.
go.
All
You got
right. So I put that in the
it.
chat. I'll also put that in the description of the replay of this. So for anybody that wants to connect with Chris and you're like, oh, I want to go hear that again, you'll find it in the KathyBenner.com and the tab there to listen to all the replays. So, Chris, thank you so much. I know you had another commitment at 1 o'clock. So we're just now at 1:01. I don't want to make you late. So I just want to say thanks again. And thank you, everyone, for being with us today. And we will see everyone next time.
Thanks, Kathy. It's been fun.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.